In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water.
Good morning once again. Happy Sabbath. And we know that through the Lord Jesus Christ, all things are possible. No situation. Situations arise even on a Sabbath day, and one has risen this morning, and I just ask for your prayers that the situation will be handled in the best way possible, the way that the Lord Jesus Christ would like us to have that handle. But this week's been over the country, the world has been something, hurricane and all the flooding there again. Flooding still going on in the Middle West, the same hurricane, typhoon, and Philippines with deaths and flooding there. And I believe it was either Sunday or Monday, they said that there was over 300 earthquakes in California in one day that was measurable. So we know that the end times are here. And as we talked about the second coming in our Sabbath school class this morning, we know that it is. The Lord Jesus is coming soon. If not in our lifetime, we know that we can still have that assurance, even if we are in the grave, that we will be alive at that time when our Savior comes, and that we will be with Him forever and ever. So let's just have a word of prayer. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank Thee and honor and praise Thy holy name on this Sabbath day. Thank You that Thou art our God. Thank You for the plan of redemption, that through the shed blood of the Lamb of God, that we may have eternal life and that our sins may be covered. Oh Lord, we pray that we walk that pathway to the eternal kingdom daily with the Holy Spirit by our side, with You there by our side. We pray that our hearts are the living temple, our bodies are the temple of the living God where He wants to be. So that if He is there, our prayers do not have to go very far for Him to hear. Oh, Lord, we just pray that we will be Yours for eternity. In Jesus' precious name, amen. With God, with the people of old, His people that He picked out to be His peculiar people, He gave them all kinds of commands besides the Ten Commandments. And some of these commands that He gave them was for them and not for us today. As we know, as we see in the festival, in the feast that was given to these people of old to be that. And keep the fact in mind that that's what the Israelites were picked for, to be a separated and a peculiar people. And God called them out to be that, that through Him He wished to reveal to the world the Messiah and the many experiences that connected with His life. And all of these, the sanctuary service, all the feasts and festivals do are connected with His life and His death. And we know that a number of festivals was given to them and to be observed at different times of the year in an especially appointed place. And that tells you in Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 16, that a fast day was also set apart by the Lord, was intended to teach precious truths about the work of the Anointed One. And that we need to read it. And I just read a little place some ago that we're not supposed to talk about the history of God's people in a sermon. But many times I don't see how we cannot do that without giving the true aspect of what Jesus has done for us. So the one factor and main factor was to keep before the people what God wanted for them to do, which He had picked out for them to do and what they were to accomplish through His guidance, to see that these services would not only bless them, but would bless the world around them, and that to learn of the great saving plan that God had for all mankind, not just for the Israelites, because that was what God had not intended, that no other people other than the Israelites should observe these feasts. Everyone could keep them who would conform to the laws governing these feasts and governing the Israelites. And if they did not, they could not be. But if there was even a stranger put there, could do that and be with them. And so we just pray that we see that, we know that in giving this to the Israelites that they were doing that. And if these stranger was there, either had to leave the Passover feast or he had to be circumcised to be able to participate in the feast. And so when this Passover was introduced there, it was first introduced, this Passover. And we read that in chapter 12 of Exodus. And this probably was the best one of all, this first one that they had, to teach them some of the strongest and most forcible lessons concerning the Messiah. And they are for our lessons for us today also. And it was introduced to the Israelites before they left Egypt. And it was to be associated forever with them, though, with the thought of the freedom from slavery, because they were in slavery for 400 years there in Egypt. In chapter 28 of Numbers, you can read about the offering of the sacrifice. And this was the basis of all the feasts that they had, giving the Lord Jesus Christ to them. Because if there was no sacrifice or offering, the observances that they conducted would be of no value. And the real lesson that God wanted to teach them would be lost. And we talk about that. I never can pronounce this right, but the Paschal lamb. And we know that there was many feasts during that time and offerings of the Passover feast. And the most prominent was the Passover or the Paschal lamb, Exodus chapter 12, verse 3. And there was at least six prominent things to be remembered in the offering of the lamb. And that was, every one was to show some truth of Jesus Christ as the Messiah. Number one, there was to be a lamb for every household. Exodus 12, 3 and 4. This lamb must be without blemish. Exodus 12, 5. The lamb must be killed in the evening or between the evenings. The blood of the lamb must be sprinkled on the side post and upper doorpost of the house in which the lamb was to be eaten. So with that, and it had to be, that lamb that was to be eaten had to be killed that day. There was no circumstances that any of it could be left till the morning. And if there was, it couldn't be eaten, and it had to be burned. And number six, not a single bone of the lamb could be broken. And these six precautions contain the essence of the truth to be taught by God to the Israelites and to us today. In the lesson of the Paschal lamb, they instituted that even before they got into the land. There, as they were in the land of the slavery yet still, they wanted to learn from this experience that it would stay with them forever, you know. And so in that manner, it was to be performed by the Lord. And he said in Exodus 12, if you would turn there to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus 12. And verse 12 and 13. Exodus 12, 12 and 13. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token unto the houses where ye are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and a plague shall not be upon to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. After the lamb was sacrificed, we see that the blood was to be applied to the post. And that house would be freed from death if it had it there. And I read someplace about even if the Egyptians had put blood and done it, that they could be saved also. But I don't know if that's true or not. But it didn't make any difference what the man might have thought or what he believed. And it didn't make no distinction if how long the man had been or claimed to be an Egyptian or an Israelite. Just there, or how long he had been in servitude. The only necessary thing for that household was to have the blood on the doorpost to be freed from death. Nothing but the blood of the Lamb could save them from death. And we know that to be for us today. Only the blood of the Lamb of God can save us. Deliverance through the blood. This ordinance was not a temporal or a thing from deliverance, from physical servitude. It was to teach the people that Egypt was an example of the darkness of sin. We talked about the darkness of sin in our Sabbath school lesson this morning. And it was to be a deliverance from the slavery of sin. But we know that they ended up even being under the slavery of sin by following other nations, following other idols. And so we see that. And it was also talked about being spiritual Egypt. The Lord used Egypt as a figure, that there was a spiritual Egypt as well as a literal one. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually was called Sodom in Egypt, where our Lord also was crucified. But we know that our Lord was not crucified literally while in Egypt or in Sodom, but to show that these two places were noted for cruelty and sin. And it is true that sin crucified our Lord. And these two places are the illustration of sin to the whole world, even today. And everything was fulfilled in Christ. Everything of the laws connected with the Lamb and with its offering at the Passover was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And we know that the Passover Lamb is Christ. The prophet Isaiah even talks about the death of Christ in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7. Isaiah 53:7. He was opposed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God," in John 1:29, verse 29 and verse 33. Paul, "For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us." And also his life was to be without blemish. "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." 1 Peter 1:18-19. And as I said, Christ died between the evenings. The Paschal Lamb, Jesus Christ, died at the very hour that the Lamb was offered and was sacrificed. Between the evenings, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The scripture tells us that he was crucified beginning at the 6th hour, and at the 9th hour he died. Matthew, Mark, and Luke talk about that. And his sprinkled blood saves, and it will save you and I today if we accept it. The apostles preached the risen Savior. He told the people that it was only through the blood which Jesus said that they could have forgiveness of sins. Because the blood of Christ is the only thing that cleanses us from sin. The sprinkling of the blood of the Son of God, which saves, purifies the hearts of men and women, both you and I, can purify our hearts, and I pray that we have purified hearts this morning. Christ's body was not allowed to hang on the cross overnight either. Christ was crucified on Friday, the 6th day, the preparation day for the Sabbath. And so we see that the Jews went to Pilate to ask for the body. And I really never looked at that verse there and thought about it there, but they asked for the bodies of the thieves also, Christ and the thieves, to be taken down. And so they, not to remain over Sabbath, because it was a high Sabbath day. And it was not allowable for the body to hang overnight. It would defile the people. It would defile the Sabbath, as well as the festival that was to go on that Sabbath day. Pilate allowing the bodies to be taken down, the prophecy concerning the Lamb, that it should not lie overnight. And so we do see that. And as I said, all Scripture fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Luke 24:44. And not a bone in his body was to be broken. So when they did ask for the body, they asked that their legs be broken to fasten their death. They broke the legs of the two thieves, but when they came to Jesus, he was already dead. There was no need to break his legs. But they did take the sword and pierce his side where blood and water came forth. John 19:34. The scripture was truthfully and fulfilled that there not a bone of him shall be broken. But the real lesson of the Paschal Lamb was Jesus Christ. Every specification to its completeness was met in Jesus Christ, dying on the cross for all mankind. God wants all men to be saved, all people to be saved. But as we read the Word of God, we know that that's not going to happen. The command was given originally to observe the Passover with the ceremonies. In the first month of the month of Nisan, on the 10th day of the month, they were to take a lamb for every family. The family wasn't large enough for that. Another family or two could join them to participate in. But to participate, there must be not less than 10 and not more than 20. And we see at the Last Supper, Christ came within that required amount, having 13 at the Passover Supper. The lamb must be kept until the fourth day. They picked it out, kept it for 14 days, took care of it just like a child that they had. It brought, even brought it into the home to take care of it. And it was killed between the evenings. And we know about the leavened bread. That the unleavened bread was also be eaten along with bitter herbs. And the leavened bread could not be found in any part of the house. And reading that there, they took that there, with that bread, and they took pieces of bread and spread it around the house, in the rooms, in the halls. And then on the day of the Passover, they were picked up and collected, tied with a string, put in an used room in the house, and the next day, about 10 o'clock in the morning, they were burned. So we see that's very precise things to be done with this there, and see that there. So we see that was there. And then, as I said before, they all had to be circumcised. During the 40 years in the wilderness, none of the children were circumcised. It wasn't until they took the land where they were all circumcised, and then they celebrated the Passover once again and continued on down through. And there was years that they did not do that, though, at their certain time. But Passover did have this perversion. As usual, man takes and goofs up everything. Everything cannot be straight because man cannot keep it that way. Always something comes into it there. So it turned into an institution largely according to their own likings. The basis of the festival, the offering of the lamb, was still observed, but so much was added. And even burdens were added that it became a heavy load for the people. And even the Word of God talks about that. And as I said about the removing of the leaven there, it was done there. Spread out through the house, and then at night, in the evening, they take a lighted candle and go and pick this up. The son, which son that he chooses, carries a candle, and the father has a feather and a wooden spoon and goes around and collects all the leaven. And so, and this was known as removing or purging the leaven. And it was very closely observed, and great care was taken to remove all of it. Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump. 1 Corinthians 5:7. We today can be a new lump. if we have sin taken out of our life. But we know that we only can do that through the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have the ability to be able to do it ourselves. And thou shalt observe the feast of weeks of the first fruits of harvest and the feast of ingathering at the year's end. Exodus 34:22. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Acts 2:1. And as I said, the next feast to celebrate was Pentecost. And the word in Hebrew means weeks, but also from the same word comes the word seven. So the feast of Pentecost was a period of 7 weeks from the time of the Passover. Deuteronomy 16:9-10. The command for the feast was first recorded in Exodus 23:16. And the feast of harvest, the first fruits of the labors which thou hast sown in the field. And here it is called the feast of harvest, when at the time the first fruits of the land was gathered. For the time the wave sheaf was offered to the Lord, and on the second day of Passover feast, 7 weeks were to be counted. It was intended to be a beautiful service, as all of these festivals and feasts were to be. The Holy Spirit designed it that way, to teach special and precious truths of the Messiah and his work. But the Jewish leaders and rabbis tried to hide the truth. They did not want that to be out. The morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that ye brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths or weeks shall be complete. Leviticus 23:15. From the first putting of the sickle on the day after the Passover Sabbath started the countdown of the 7 weeks. And then the next day was Pentecost. The real application for this feast, we have a beautiful lesson concerning the work of the Savior. And we can read that in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Verse 41. Acts 2:41. Chapter 2:1-4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. We are aware of the result of that day's experience. 3,000 souls were brought to Christ. Verse 41. What a harvest of souls as a result of the sowing of the seed by the Son of Man. Matthew 13:23. And that the Savior himself said that he came to sow seed. The seed is the word of God. Luke 8:11. We know that the man is the sower, the Son of Man is the sower, and he sowed his seed in the field, which is the world. The whole world is our field to sow the seed. But we know that we cannot be all over, so we know that this community, the communities that we live in, is our field of play, where we are to sow the seed. But when Christ died on the cross, there was hardly anyone left. Even his own disciples, except John, left him and fled. But with John remained the mother of James and 2 other women. And for 3.5 years, Christ sowed the word of God in the world. And when Pentecost fully came, God kept his promise of the feast of the harvest and gave the Lord Jesus through his disciples the first fruits of his labor. A blessed Pentecost, a blessed gathering of a harvest of souls. And one day soon it will be able to have that same type of harvest where thousands will come to the Lord. We know that we read it already in South America and other places that they baptize thousands, having a crusade and baptize thousands. But why can't we do it here in the United States? You know? But we see that. But when he died, the law and truth and spiritual power was abundantly magnified through his servants. And it can be magnified through us today if we will do our part and allow the Holy Spirit to guide and direct each one of our lives. Jesus Christ did magnify the law and made it honorable on earth and in heaven. Our Heavenly Father, yes, we know it is the whole time, almost time for our Savior to come. We know that many things are to be repeated, that we need to be ready. Oh, the second coming of our Savior, that will humble each one of us, that will put each one of us on our knees to know, to have the surety that our Jesus is coming, that he is coming for you and I, that we may spend eternity ever with him, learning the plan of redemption, looking over the word to see what really was accomplished in Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son, the Savior, and the King of the world. Usurped it back, took it back from our adversary, so that the throne of God will sit here one day on this earth, made new, and that we all may be a part of it. We ask for all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.